West West, y'all.
He's all on. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
All right, welcome back to 135 Footy Show, part of the Wiz Wiz Network. Yeah, exciting part of the season, and I'm joined again by the brothers. Welcome, Stacey, host of the Counter Rock. How are you, bro?
Yeah, mate, good. Thanks for having me on, Us. NRL's really getting to the business end, so this is the exciting part to be on the podcast. Thanks, brother.
Ah, sharp, Us. Yeah, same with our Wiz Wiz columnist, Simon Amani. How's it going, brother?
G'day, fellas. Yeah, been really good, mate. Thanks for having me on, also. Yeah, man, excited, bro. Like you said, finals time, bro. So, yeah, man, bring it on, man. Looking forward to a good episode tonight, bro.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, it's exciting to be at this point of the season. And we're all in the running as well. So, yeah, glad we kind of took up and got the opportunity to carry on the Usos podcast, carry on the weekly content. Just in the rounds and to see our teams kind of sitting here right now, you know, started recording. We had both teams, Warriors and Bronx, you know, kind of hopeful, wanting to see how the boys went. Yeah, let's get into it. Finals footy, final eight. Man, what have you been impressed about up to date regular season? Kind of, yeah. I'll start with you, Si, kind of out of the eight that you see so far.
Well, I'm impressed. I'll go give the competition a wrap as a whole. You know, you probably, I think Penrith set the standard, just carried on from what they've been doing the last 2 years. But there's a definite evening up of the competition, bro. You know, down to six. Oh, I would say on their day, man, any other eight can beat each other. So in that regards, bro, it's been a good comp, like a bit more, you know, a bit more game, a lot of good entertaining games. It seems like, you know, the food's been a bit free-flowing, maybe because it's just the Bronx and some of the amazing tries they've been piled on and just showing the comp what, you know, well, how dangerous a young team with that spirit who don't give a shit, just throw the ball around. No one's really backing you, eh? Before I go to those four stakes, I just want to say to a couple of my predictions through my column there. I left the Warriors out at halfway mark. I said that I might be struggling just to get that eight, like that ninth, tenth. I have them coming tenth. So I guess I'm far more on my face. I'll be the first to admit. And they've probably been... The most improved, bro, if you can give it awards, the Warriors. So, nah, man, it's good for Rugby League too, bro, seeing the news, seeing everyone come out of their shells they've been hiding under the stones. But it gives Rugby League, bro, a bit of, you know, like, and you know, it's funny, all the streakers, it hasn't been many, but they all come from New Zealand, bro, back home. But, yeah, heaps of good things come out of this comp, bro. Excited for both of our teams to be involved.
Steve, how have you seen it so far, man?
Yeah, it's been good. I think Si's right on the money there. Just the unpredictability. We've talked about it all season throughout the podcast where, you know, anyone can really beat anyone. If you did some predictions, at least Simon put his ones out there. I think a lot of experts would have had this, you know, the Rabbitohs up there in that top four or top eight at least. Was it the Parramatta Eels? They were finalists last year. People would have picked them up there, and the Cowboys too. So that's three of the preliminary finalists from last year. Didn't even make the top eight, and that just speaks to the quality of the competition. So I think that's what I've been happy about. There's a few it's quite hard to do some predictions and just the closeness of the competition. Also the Warriors, obviously me being a Warriors fan. I've been on the podcast since we started, and this is the first time that I've been able to come on here in the playoffs and
the finals.
Yeah, talk about my team. Normally, I'm talking about Or next year, if we improve this and that.
Exactly.
And next year's our year.
Exactly.
But this time, this year's our year.
There's the call. He's the call. He's been nervous to say your year. He's finally made the call. Before we get into this week's games, I wanted to just go to a few things that have been happening around the league at the moment. Doggies, a lot of stuff coming out of there, a lot of stuff happening in the background. You kind of expect it, you know, when the teams aren't doing too well, some of the stuff you start to see shakes in the background. We saw with the Tigers earlier on when the 5-year plan became a 1-year plan and Flanagan's gone and now Benji's in there as coach. So there's some rumblings at the Doggies. Players leaving training because they've been wrestling the whole team. Just a lot happening. And then, you know, Doggies great coming out and going all in on one of the young Doggies players for not getting a start there and moving on. And Adam Laurie, and then also Buzz kind of getting in there as well. And so a lot happening at the Doggies. Buzz naming Raymond Faitala Mariner as one of the guys, you know, standing up for the boys as a senior person, trying to speak on behalf of the guys. I don't know how much you guys have heard about this, read about it. Your guys' thoughts? I'll jump to you first, Stace. Your thoughts on what's happening there at the Doggies and kind of their season?
Yeah, it's there's some big issues there at the Dogs by the sound of things, and they need to make some changes. So I'm sort of... You know, I know that there was some talk about mental health issues and all the rest of it, that the player was suffering and all the rest of it, so you have to sort of tread a bit carefully. But I'm sort of half leaning towards agreeing with the coach. They've got to raise the standards, and I don't think he's asking for much. Like, all he was saying was, you know, don't be late to training. That's got to be the bare minimum. You talk about getting the one percenters, well, turning up on time, that should be an easy sort of low-hanging fruit to start off with then. You know, I think, you know, you can say that maybe the punishment was harsh, but I don't know how many people would be late to training after they said, well, you're late, you got to, you know, wrestle the whole team. So, you know, he's got to set those standards high, and you've got to have the strength of conviction to stick to it. You've got to remember where Serrato's come from. So he was the assistant coach there at the Panthers. So he knows what hard work looks like, and he knows how much of a difference that's going to make. You think about Penrith and how successful they've been in recent years, but you could say that they're the fittest team in the NRL when you look at you know, the back three and how they run, the line speed that they bring on defense, that, yeah, they can do it for the full 80. And so if you say that they're the fittest team and the hardest working team, you know, that's a big pillar of their success. So he's just trying to bring that in. I don't know if you can't always just copy and paste what worked at one team and bring it into the other team, so there could be a bit of pushback like we're seeing now. But yeah, you've got to set higher standards and you've got to start somewhere. So I'm okay. That, to me, that doesn't seem like something that you should be letting slide, coming in late to training and that sort of stuff. So I'm sort of siding with the coach on this one, with the information that we've got at this point.
Yeah, so are you seeing that, man, with the Doggies going through this drama?
At first I was like, I don't really care about these stories. I just thought it was just... another, some more journos giving the burden to some of the lesser teams. But it brought up an interesting, because at first when I heard about that player and was complaining about the harsh punishment served on him, but as a, like as someone who's played sports, if I was a fan, I want my team to be training hard. That's how you, you know, the difference between the big team, the good teams, and the other teams is the mental, you know, the mental capacity they have to perform at the highest level, and that's like doing the hard work together, bro. And that's fitness wise, bro. Going to the deep depths of, you know. But then I heard a couple of interesting takes on it with Bentil talking about how far, because after this player was late, he had to do this as some kind of if it was a humiliation kind of thing, then maybe the coach was crossing the line, because, you know, ever since that session, that player hasn't returned. So it's obviously had an impact on him, and then people were bringing in this player's mental health, welfare, was, you know, he wasn't able to cut it. So, you know, you really got to dig down into the facts then. Was it how was the delivery from the coach? How did it come? Like, was it like one of those hazing style kind of humiliation where the player just couldn't cope? Or was it just, bro, you're wrestling 13 guys, get on with it, man. You know, like, dig deep. You know, if you don't, if this is too much yakka for you, maybe it's, you know, professional sports not your thing, bro. Because that's, for a team, for me, that's how you build mental, you just having that mental strength, bro, is being able to pick yourself up and go again.
Mm.
No, so it's catch 22, bro. Like, it's fucking so easy to people throw in that word.
Especially, I guess, because you're kind of getting the stories through the reports and that.
Yeah, it is important. But then, you know, like, you know, being a professional athlete, you got to do the work, man. And, you know, you can't sell it otherwise, bro, because there's the rest of us, we're on the clock, man. You know, people were working 12, 18 hours, bro. So, yeah, I don't know, man. To be honest with you, it's the one thing I took out for, which kind of turned my head sideways, was when that guy Buzz mentioned the Waitara Mariner, and then his supposed talking for the Polynesian boys, mentioning how they weren't happy with. I was like, come on, bro, if you're not going to quote names, like,
yeah, yeah. Mariner, all of a he's, sudden, he's the group leader.
Well, he's kind of our disgruntled employee now. Boys. He's been given the chop, so yeah, he can talk for himself. But and even that's a cop out. Why is Waitara Mariner talking about other boys that he's supposedly representing? Let's have your own true. What do you think about the coach? You know, obviously, the coach didn't really put him high because he fell from being captain, part of the leadership. Even kept in the, a few games to not even wanted, and they re-signed him at the start of the year, man. So, a lot of bullshit stories, bro. I don't want fucking Islander players to be tainted like as a group as a whole. They like to do that. They like to do that to us. Nah, man. Everyone's got their own life, their own different reasons why they do stuff, bro. Someone's not happy with the coach. That's between them and the coach. And really, this year the doggies are all the stories getting out, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, and especially because of the way it's blowing up. Like, if you're not in that and you don't know, like, kind of, you know, the talk is that it's a culture problem. You know, Warriors, for a long time when we were a struggling team, that was the cliche, and it's a culture issue there. And that's what. Do you reckon this guy just had a Bob Sevalier? Like, just go Ika because he got mud down his undies and then he got real angry.
Oh, I don't want to go through that again. I had quoted that incident once before with Isaiah.
But yeah, and, I guess that's where when they start talking culture, you know, this guy as part of the team should be aware, you know, that. And so I think the mental health claim is a true thing, but there's obviously other things happening.
We weren't there at the session.
So you don't know the but full
how did it come extent? Across? Was it one of those, ah, you filthy animal, get that in here, don't ever come late?
Or it could just be a bad day for him, you know. So him saying it's mental, people are just taking that as being, oh, yeah, because of how bad it was on the field. But I guess, you know, that's other things happening outside. Like, if this is what is expected and kind of happens in the team, everyone else in the team is kind of vouching, you know, yeah, this is kind of the standard we want to set. And then, yeah, that's the guy's obviously going through other stuff. You've got to set the standard
of that shit, yeah.
So for everyone to kind of jump on the wagon and say, it's because of that, you know, maybe that was the tipping point. Another team kind of getting the kick in at the moment and kind of, especially to fail the eight, they're saying it's one of the biggest capitulations of a team. The Rabbitohs, kind of everything happening on and off field around them, and then their loss to the Roosters last week, seeing them failing to make the eight. What do you guys make of that? Just more people kicking them while they're down?
There could be some issues there. There's got to be more than meets the eye. Because I think round 11, they were coming first. And that's the first team ever to go from first to not even make the top eight at that late in the season. So they just fell off a cliff. And it's not, you look at the team on paper, it's not the playing personnel. It's not that they weren't good enough. I don't know what it is, but something went wrong. And you're looking for answers sort of outside of football, because I do think that on paper they should have been good enough to just get them through and win those games. Even if they just they only had to win one more game. I think they won like two of their last, like, I don't know the numbers, but two of their last sort of 12 or 13 or something like that to fall off a cliff the way they did. And you think that they're a better side than that. So I think when that happens, that's when people start looking for answers. Maybe they're looking for answers that aren't there. But, I think that's more than football. You also consider that Sam Burgess, who's one of South's favourite sons, he's no longer at the club anymore. You know,
that's
their thing where you know what he's like and how he trained and his approach to the game. He was all in 100%. So if he's seen players that are sort of a bit half-assed, which is what they were saying, sort of letting those standards slip again back to the standards, he started calling people out apparently and they didn't like it. And then that power struggle came through and he just said, look, I can't deal with it. And he left. So I think when a club stalwart and one of the absolute legends decides to walk away the way he did, it's got to take a lot. And I think there's more to it than meets the eye. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it is a cultural issue there.
Yeah, bro, that's too good of a team to miss out. So it's a big failure for them. I don't think they're too far away. I mean, another win, and depending on points four, they're in the eight. Another two wins, they're definitely in the eight. So you look at Latrell, bro, and how much he missed. Like, I think for Souths to, when you talk about pouring on points, they need their big three, like with the hooker there, they're 13, even Cody Walker. They can't do it without Latrell. I just think he's been missing for too much of the season. He plays another three or four games, at least two to three wins, bro. Especially some of that, I think the drops are some real lower team games. So, and the rest of the on-field, that just comes with performances, bro. I mean, like I said, so they win a couple more games. They're definitely in the eight. It doesn't really make ours a big deal, but now they've missed the eight. They go off to a slow start next year, and then who knows, the coaches starts asking questions. You know, but it's a tight competition, bro, and you need your players firing all at once. And I don't think for what they're paying him, that just especially with time on the field, that Latrell's really giving worth his cent. You know, they're talking to him about putting him in 5'8", which I don't know if that's the answer, but I don't think they're too far away. But they're like the Eels, man. Eels, yeah, another couple of wins. This has been an out of it season, bro. 10 teams in a running.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that the Eels have been fortunate. They haven't had, like, I think they've had their on field, kind of the couple of stars have some dramas off field, but outside of that, there's been no murmurings, kind of in the back office.
I think with the Eels, as soon as they lost their halfback, bro, it was all over.
Well, yeah, but that was at the back end of the season. So I think you look at their performance overall.
Well, that's what I mean. I think the last three games they were without him, weren't they?
Last two of the season. Yeah.
The thing about the Eels is they tried hard. You know, so they lost games, but you could tell that if it was they were going for it, they just couldn't get the wins. Whereas we've seen footage of Latrell just standing there watching his team run around. And that's
what they're going to do.
It's sort of like, these guys ain't even trying. And, you know, you can forgive a team like Parramatta, even though that's a bad failure for them to go from grand finalist to out the eight. Mm. You can say, well, if they're trying their best, you can sort of live with it. But if you're mucking around, that's unforgivable at this level. So that's where I think that Souths are copying it worse, because if they just tried a bit harder, they would have made top eight. You imagine if you're a fan. I don't care. That's not my team. But if I was a fan and someone said, oh, they didn't try hard enough, that's why they missed out on the eight.
Exactly.
That's unacceptable, man.
Yeah. In that vein, though, you look at the Cowboys last week. A do-or-die game, maybe it accentuates how good the Panthers are, but that didn't look like a team who wanted to make the eight. That looked like a team that was resigned to let's reset in the off season and come back better next year.
That was shocking, bro. That was shocking. I think that team that on attack, they're one of the teams with confidence. They can blow teams apart. but I just don't. In the end, I don't think they had the starch to match it with the likes of Penrith. When things aren't going your way, you got to just complete your sets, kick, tackle, complete your sets, tackle.
Yep.
Whereas it seemed like they're trying to score off every play, bro. Mm. And it was, bro, I don't know if it, because last year, man, I don't know if they were just overperforming, but because of what they did last year, I thought, I see them on attack at times this year. That's why I backed them against Penrith, because you know, you're one of those teams that'll do something different against Penrith, just throw the ball around, or that's what you kind of need against Penrith, bro, because they're such an arm wrestle team.
Mm.
But, no, they just, the defense couldn't hack it, the forwards got blown out of the park, bro. It was those Penrith wingers, man. They do what they got to do, man. And I don't know. Cowboys just coming out of the end, making mistakes, bro, playing touch footy. So they deserve where they got to. I don't think they were nearly played enough at that level to really make you think they were deserving of eight.
Yeah, because you look at how, yeah, like you said last year, I think it was a real attitude thing, especially with the way Todd Payton came in. You know, similar to what Webster's done with the Warriors, you know, they bought into it last year. And I think they were getting good guns just because they were running so well all season. Like, I was surprised, you know, those boys that made it into Origin. I think what Origin does brings those players back up. So they
got hard workers, bro. Like, Cotter, I think they're a team of, like, they don't have, like, out-and-out superstars. So for them to win, they all have to play, like, 8 and 9s out of 10.
Mm. Stacey rates their roster.
Yeah, I do. I think they've got a good roster. I think they have 5 Origin players. So they're up there, eh? And they've got a couple of Kiwi internationals there. So they've got a good team on paper. I'm not sure what happened. But just that gap between the best and their worst game is just too
big.
I saw that play against the Panthers. But there was a period where they won like 6 or 7 games in a row. And they were just irresistible. And then there are games where that Panthers, there was that game against the Tigers where they got pumped by 60, just too high and too low. And that ultimately cost them in the end. So it's unfortunate for them. I know a lot of experts would have picked them to finish in the top 8 somewhere. So for them to not make it, that's another failure, yeah.
I suppose. Yeah. The payments around players, Luai looking to get another new contract, and Andrew Johns weighing into the argument. What was your take on his approach to that, the Luai situation? So,
yeah, man, I don't know, big call, man. I mean, some of his opinion, bro, is might sway clubs. He come out and say he's not the lead guitarist, bro. You know, he's Bobby. He's not Richie. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, he took Samoa to a final on a B-team Samoa forward pack, and he wasn't going forward at all. He was having tough, you know, very limited time, ball on hand, but just played that general position for Samoa, especially in the England game. It was a different kind of Luai. But at the same time, man, when Samoa needed a try, you know, he took the line on, bro, and he found some tries, man. So, bro, I think there's a little, there's an elite group of halves that can command $1 million, and, you know, there's not many, there's not enough halves to go around, bro. And you see some of these bottom 8 teams would love to have someone like Luai. And for me, you know, someone that's watched this guy, and he's a bit of an enigma as well. That's another thing clubs will might have to add to his value, like sort of this guy can generate, you know, a bit of love and hate with some of his shenanigans, but purely on the field, he's worth every penny, bro. He can get that $1 million a season mark. There's a few teams down at the bottom there will probably find their money for it. But I don't know. It's such a cool, kind of will reveal his, what kind of a man he is, eh? You know, stay for less and win a few more comps, you're comfortable where you live, where you got brought up with your family around you, or, you know, you play it business-wise and try to get into that real money where you can make a difference to his kids and their futures. So it's good time, man, for the Polynesian athlete, bro, just to watch, like, Now, Hans just got himself $1 million, a front rower.
Especially in
the what about game winning half?
Tino and David Fira, so, you know, a lot of the Island boys seeing some there, love. Stace, you paying $1 million for a six, not a genuine seven? You paying that much for a six, or are you looking to switch him to seven?
I said a six there can play seven as well. That's what I reckon.
If need be. I think Andrew Johns was a bit harsh because you got to keep in mind his role at the Penrith Panthers. His role isn't to be the lead guitarist or whatever the quote was. That's Cleary's role. His role is to be the ball runner and do other things. Just because he's got a different role at Penrith doesn't mean he can't do other things. And we saw that at Samoa.
He was the main playmaker at
Samoa. So he can do it.
But he's done this in the past, eh? With Andrew Johns. Sorry, Stace. I just wanted to quickly throw it in there. I think from his experience that he declined so many offers to move from Newcastle. So I think in his mind that he kind of like prefers guys to be loyal and stay at one club. But I don't know if that's the basis of why he always hates on players getting big money elsewhere, moving clubs. But he's done that in the past. But sorry, we'll sort of jump in there, carry on.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I do wonder about that if he's just trying to put that out there to be loyal. I thought the criticism was harsh because we saw with Samoa that he's capable. He can be the main playmaker if he needs to be. It's just not his role at Penrith, so he doesn't do that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think he can do it if he was given the opportunity in a different system at a different club. So I don't know. Yeah, I probably would consider giving him $1 million if I was. There's not enough halves, like Simon said. There's more clubs than there are elite halves. And you look at his resume, Origin wins, he got Samoa to the grand final, overachieved there, two premierships, whatever else he's won. So. And you look at the people that play around him as well, like his ability to set up, make the people outside him better. So I think Matt Burton won Dally M Centre of the Year playing left centre outside him. Crichton won Centre of the Year when he was left centre playing outside him. They had this average Joe at Samoa who played centre outside him that they just
played. Tim Laffey came
Tim Laffey. And he worked like a gun.
Exactly.
So he can make the players around him better. And that's an underestimated part of his game. He doesn't get a lot of credit for. So I would, I just took myself into it. I would give him $1 million. But I just found this article, which comes back to what you mentioned earlier, Simon, where the Panthers, they've had to give so many people upgrades. They've had a conversation with Luai. Luai's got rid of his management. So that's sort of where the negotiations have stalled a bit. I'm still trying to seek out a new manager. But because they've paid everyone else, the highest that they can offer him, there's 800,000 max. It's more than likely going to be in the 700s is what they're going to offer him. And he's worth more than that. I'll say that much at least. So it's going to be a test of his loyalty because I know he's pretty much Panthers through and through. Yeah. Will he stay for sevens? We'll see.
Nice, boys. Yeah, that's going to be real interesting with him. And those decisions come November 1st. I think that's when those can kind of start happening. Is that how? Unless he re-signs.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. They can start talking to negotiating with clubs for the next year.
Not the new year coming. Watch the space. One last thing we just wanted to cover off was just around the minor premiership. So the Bronx had a perfect opportunity, play their a full strength team against the Storm, who were down a few personnel. And I don't know if they had kind of planned it, knowing that they were going to go into finals. So Storm had already stood down personnel, and the Broncos did as well. I saw it as them keeping their eye on the main prize, and so foregoing the minor premiership. Ivan Cleary in his press conference kind of alluded to the same. You know, they weren't focused on that. You know, they just wanted to kind of prep well leading into the final series. They were happy as long as they were one or two. They knew that was secure as a home final. Your guys' thoughts on how what do you see in terms of that happening, the way both teams approach that, and your thoughts around how we make the minor premiership something more important?
Yeah, I mean, regardless of what the prize would be for a minor premiership, I think clubs would still value being actual premiership winners, you know, after a grand final. So that'll always be the cream of the crop. I don't know. I kind of just think that, like, when you perform and you finish top two and you finish on points, that's regardless of the outcome of the last game, you can afford to do that. That's your right. And I think it was more out of this thing between, Walters Broncos and the Storm, or how to get around that thing, like not really want to show your hand because you know you're going to play them in the finals. You know, and I thought they had a really strong game, my Broncos did, against Raiders beforehand. And also the Storm had an awesome game, who slowly introducing Pappenhausen and what they're going to do around him. And they're holding back on that. And so as a Broncos fan, I didn't mind it, bro, because I didn't want to play your full team and then smash a guy, a Storm team. You got nothing out of it. I think at the end of the day, maybe the fans and the punters, because that all matters, bro. Try score, you know. What if someone's almost going for that highest try score tally, and then, you know, coach puts you on the bench? So it kind of almost just dilutes the competition for, you know. But everyone did it, bro. Mm. Even the Warriors, I think they
rested a lot of our boys, yeah.
Yeah, I think they were. I think for me, one of the teams probably, but I think they probably would have carrying a few, some of those minor injuries that a week off would have helped. But not a firing Warriors in time for Penrith would have been good to see. Because Dolphin, they were awesome, bro. They make you work, man.
Mm.
But yeah, it was more of a just like a deflation, eh? Like, oh, fuck, let's bring on the finals, these last games.
Stace, your views on the minor premiership?
I quickly mentioned now Falongo, bro. Good to see some young guns coming. Yeah.
I haven't been excited to see some highlights in a long time. Yeah. It was like watching Roger again.
One of the best after-match speeches to interviews with Darren Lockyer. Go watch it, bro. But he's one to watch, man.
Yeah, that minor premiership, they need to do something, eh? Because teams just don't care enough. There's not enough incentive to go for it. And I think that's what we saw. The Bronx, if they won, they win the minor premiership. If they lose, they still come second. And the difference between first and second, there's nothing really. You're getting a home playoff in week one. If you win week one, you get a week off in week two. First and second is the same thing, pretty much. So we saw that, and we've seen that before with Penrith and all the rest of it. A lot of teams who can win the minor premiership just sort of put it by the wayside in pursuit of the main premiership. So I think they need to do something, eh? Because they should have a bit more value than it does. If you go 27 weeks, that's a massive grind. To come first is a massive achievement. And to just brush it off the way that, not just the Bronx, it's been done before, the way that teams do, and not really put any importance on it. I think that there's something to it. I know, so I mentioned you won $200,000 if you win the minor premiership. So I wonder if they could, I don't know how much money they could give, but if they could maybe give you $200,000 salary cap exemption for next year, that might be a better way.
Be able to bring a gun in or something.
Yeah, give you put more money to bring a gun in.
Mean incentive for the players to play and win.
Mm.
That would do it, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like an advantage on the road to the finals. Like I think you mentioned it, Stace, it used to be only the top team gets the home advantage.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so back in the day, when they only had the top five, this is before the top eight system. So the minor premiers would get the week off, and then the other four teams would play each other. And teams would really go for it to try and win that minor premiership to get that week off. So I don't know if we can go down to the top five anymore. But if they could do something along those lines, maybe a top seven where that top team gets a week off and then the other six sort of play each other. But they need to do something to make it, to incentivize it more, because it's a massive achievement.
Yeah,
It's so hard to win the minor premiership after 27 weeks of grinding. There should be some type of reward for it. People shouldn't, clubs and everyone shouldn't be as dismissive. Also, like what Sai, you mentioned, the fans, Bronx versus Storm, that was two top four teams. That should have been, you know, one of the regular season games of the season. Mm. It was still a good game, but, you know, there was a lot of, I don't know who this guy is, I don't know who that guy is type things about it when it shouldn't have been.
Mm. Yeah, something needs to change to make it just that more important. Especially in the bigger rundown, like I guess as a fan side, I guess you're a big Broncos fan. Obviously not too fussed about it. How fussed are you at the end of the season if you guys don't take the big dance? No one really remembers the minor premiers except the fans,
Oh,
do
no, fuck, nah.
you?
Don't bother me at all, bro.
No?
It don't bother me at all. We'll touch on it when we talk about the games coming up, but
Okay.
now, I would have liked to get the hoodoo off the back and just beat
Yes.
them. But then, you can't have it both ways, bro. We'll beat them regardless, man, on the way to the GF. I think you guys are so lucky that we didn't win, because it would have been
We would have kicked you guys off the field at your home ground.
we would have met in the prelim final or something like that, wouldn't it be? Oh no, game
Would
one
have
would have
been
been
this week. Yeah, it
huge.
would have been this week with us.
And so, I mean, that's not going to do you any good if you get spanked 50
No
points.
problems, game.
That's
All
uncle.
right. Since we're heading into the predictions,
Get into that.
let's start there, man. Let's go Friday. So they did a bit of a switcheroos here. Makes sense though, gives both the Warriors and the Panthers the 7 day turnaround. And so yeah, put the Broncos and the Storm on a Friday. You guys have a good rest since the last week, plus everyone that rested. So we'll go to you, Sturt, neutral ground first. Yeah, break down these two, who you think's gonna take it, and then yeah, break down each team and what you think's gonna happen.
Me? Well,
Ever.
oh, me. Yeah, it's going to be a good game, eh? I think Si touched on it a little bit with that hoodoo, eh? Like, I
Yeah.
look at the Bronx, they're a gun team. They've got a high-powered attack. They've got guns in every position. It's all covered. And I think they can beat every team, probably except for the Storm. The Storm, they've won 14 in a row. And, I think that hoodoo does count. If you look at it from the football side, if you look at it from the football side, which is probably how Simon's going to look at it, you look at the players they got and all the rest of it, you think they can overcome it, but you'd probably say the Bronx would win. But, like I said, they've won 14 in a row, and it gets past football, gets into the psychological side. So I think the last time Brisbane got a win was in round 25, 2016. So just to put that in perspective, none of the Broncos
Oh,
starting
look
17
that one
were
up, eh?
playing
You
in
looked that
that
one up, eh? You wanted to make a thing out of the CD,
game. I did because I just want to give you some perspective on that. So
It's not
none of the
really.
Broncos starting
It's like
17
the hoodie, mate.
were playing in that game. So there's not a single player that will run out for the Broncos this in week one of the finals that have ever beaten the Storm wearing a Broncos jersey. And that's all they've ever known are
Well,
losses.
most of them have only played them like twice, three times. I don't think any of this young squad's really been, apart from the Corey Oates, that period where Slater and Smith, every time they played the Broncos, bro, they were just. So I think parts of their childhood, when they were in the Broncos trials and their names weren't called out, they kind of caught up with them, and then they just come and smash us. When they got to senior level. So there was that period of a good 5, 6, 7 years where they were spanking us. But this team's different, bro. None of these teams really have kind of been exposed to the Storm much. Like I said, they've probably played them twice, three times at the most. This is a brand spanking new team, also. Those kind of hoodoos won't play on their mind, bro.
Oh, I disagree.
I would have liked to put it to bed so that people don't talk about it, because then they try and make it a thing, but it's not. It's boring news.
I disagree because I think that their football wise, I think the Bronx would take them, but just psychologically, that's a lot to overcome. Not a single person,
Oh,
one to
psychologically, is it?
17, one to 17, not a single Broncos person has beaten the Storm while wearing a Broncos jersey. None of them. That's a massive hurdle. So, I think football wise,
Well,
they've
you
got the
could
team,
pull up
but
that
hoodoo
flex like
wise.
that.
That they, I don't think they've got it psychologically. So,
Let's see how many Warriors players have actually been in Penrith. I'm not sure, but I just want to bring it up because it's kind of a I'm trying to
just
connect
make
the
up some
dots.
facts
I'm
now.
trying to connect the dots
Just trying to make
with
up
a little
some
stat,
facts
but it doesn't
to
equate
distract.
to. I think purely on football, these kids won't care about a hoodoo. And like I said, I'm glad that Kevin Walters don't show his full, because we could be playing these guys possibly twice, man. You know, so it's going to be an awesome game, man.
Yeah, I think he should have gone for the win. Like you mentioned that earlier as well, just to get that hood off the back. Because that's the only thing that I can see upsetting the Bronx. I think the Bronx can beat every other team except for Melbourne on the hoodoo factor. So, yeah, that's sort of my take on it.
The Storm are impressive. Like, you look at their run, and they have, you know, it's been a rough season for the Storm, you know, and hasn't been the best season. Yet they finished the season regular coming in at third. It just goes to show how professional this club is, you know, coming through all this. When you look at other teams like the Roosters and Rabbitohs really struggling. So I guess you look at, you know, when you talk about culture and standards, you know, throughout the season, you know, Bellamy hasn't been happy, and we've looked at the Storm, and as much as they're sitting third, no one's kind of been impressed with them, thinking, well, these guys, they aren't gelling. This ain't the Storm. They haven't really clicked. So Pappenhausen coming back in is a real, real danger for them. Still yet to kind of fire, but, you know, just getting some game time confidence. Likely they'll probably play him off the bench as a 14. They got Garlic in there as Bronson Garlic. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting, like how they use that. So they're still doing the impact player and Harry Grant playing the two hookers. Pappenhausen playing there in number 17. So I think that's a plus. Nick Meaney's been solid. But yeah, for that Reece Walsh speed and the way that the Broncos play, just that speed out the back, you know, Reece Walsh is almost like a third half for you. And so I think that's probably going to play into the Storm's hand, just having that bit of a match for speed and Paps probably being able to play close to the ruck, try and catch Reece Walsh, especially when the forwards are getting tired. I think that's the game plan that Bronx kind of usually play. So they'll probably bring him in as probably like a third hooker almost. So it'll be interesting like how they play Paps. But yeah, Si, like other than trying to break hoodoos, is it all just on the field? I think a week off, you know, should really be, I guess it's kind of time for Reynolds. This is kind of the territory why he's in the team. These final weeks of the final.
He's he's a big part of the puzzle. And I think the reason why I'm confident about the Broncos, and I have been confident all year, is not what Reece Walsh has done, nor all these flashy tries, but just the work of the forwards, the defensive makeup of the team. Some of our wins we haven't played to the best of our ability, but with arm wrestled with teams where we've won close ones. And what the boys have learned to do this year is to grind out sets and chase every single kick that Reynolds gives us, bro. And man, that guy, 8-9 times out of 10, bro, he puts it on the spot, man. He makes it hard for teams coming out. Being second in defence has proved to me that, you know, we've got the defence to cover ourselves as well. We don't have to work twice as hard, but if we have to, we can do. We've done that, bro. We've come back after being behind against good teams. We did that against the Panthers, bro. Won them in a close one at the start of the year. But with the Storm, bro, they're gonna throw a bit more darts, bro. You got the obvious Hughes and Munster and what?
Yeah, man.
Got tissue on the edges all the time, bro. But now they got Pappenhausen, who, you know, he might come on as one of like a ball playing small forward or even run around at nine. So, bro, they're always gonna be a thing at nine. And now you got fucking Pappenhausen come teaming up. You know, if he runs off Harry Grant, shit, bro, that tests any defensive line, bro. So, big game, but I think the Broncos are up for it, bro. And then, you know, if need be, and they're behind on the scoreboard, and they're still grinding, they can pull out tries that solo, you know, solo efforts from a lot of these guys, bro. You look at Herbie; he's done that all year. He's done that in the Broncos jersey, bro. He's pulled out some awesome individuals. Trifits. Katoni, bro, coming right at the right time. Cobbo's always does out of its stuff. So the flash is there, bro. And I think the nitty gritty stuff's there too, bro. So We'll see, man. And if it's not quite there, they got another chance, bro. So we'll see, man.
I don't think they are. I don't think they are a grinding team, to be honest. No, they've got their high-powered attack, so they've got that speed.
They have ground out wins. That's how you become one.
I don't think they do. I think that they rely too heavily on their speed and athleticism of the team, and Reece Walsh and what he can do. And they've been blowing a lot of teams away.
It's there when you need it, bro.
They're eighth for set completion. Reece Walsh leads the competition in errors and handling errors. So that comes back to what they do. They charge their arm a bit more than they do grind. So I think that Melbourne are more likely to get in the grind.
It's the Panthers' competition to lose, right?
Right.
You got to have an attack to this try stuff.
Yeah, but is that grind? I wouldn't say that's grinding. I would say that Melbourne are more likely to grind in this game than, say, the Bronx would.
I think we can grind along at the same time. But to beat them, you got to score points.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. It's their points.
Yeah, points. Well, there's a difference between going for the points and going for the grind. So I just think there's two different game plans. I don't think that the Bronx are renowned for being grinding teams. I think the Storm are more likely to grind. So I think.
Well, you look at players. You look at players like Carrigan. You look at Payne Haas, and we've got awesome bench with Palacia making the bench, and I was happy. Piakuta made it as well. So we've got a young, quick, fast leg speed in our bench, man, to complement. Probably the two of the best rotating props that right up there with Leota and Fisher Harris is Payne Haas and the ginger we got, bro.
Legler
is just coming right, man. That this guy's managed to kind of just pull back his Ulugae kind of styles and just, you know, make a few meters, got a good offload on him. So I don't know, bro. I think with Storm, yeah, you do have to match up with them in the arm wrestle, but you still got to chance your arm and get your points over them because they're such a really well defense structured team, bro, as our Craig Bellamy teams will be, you know?
Yeah. The Storm, I think they're up there, like, I think they're behind.
Take a chance, they say, take a chance.
They're second for the completion. So the Storm won't beat themselves and they'll try to get in that grind with Brisbane and get with the set completions, kick the corners, that sort of stuff, and test the Bronx, sort of their fortitude to play that long game. And if the Bronx chance the round,
I think Reynolds got the better kicking game than Hughes. I think we've got the better kicking game, especially with Walsh on the left boot. Ezra Mam, his short kicking game is pretty underrated. He's pretty good at the grubbers. So I think they really just got Munster at the left boot and Hughes, he just bombs. Well, I think we can grind Storm to run it out of the end, mate.
Now that you just mentioned those names, I think you kind of, I don't know if it was on purpose, but you've missed out Harry Grant and going up against
Billy. Mentioned Harry Grant.
Billy's been running well, but I think there's...
He'll be a threat.
But I think there's going to be a big matchup, though. Billy Waters, you know, he's had a good run over the last 4 weeks. Stacey isn't a fan.
No.
And I think he may capitulate this week in a big finals game. Hopefully he's been working, doing some extra sets with Dad. Getting his mindset ready.
He's been able to pick his moments, and when he does pick to have a go, have a run, he's had some good runs.
Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tata, when you said at the start of the podcast that, you know, the finals is like a new competition, and finals football is very different. So we talk about the importance of the spine. Now, Ezra Mam, he looks like he's going to be a 10-year player, but this will be his first final series. Billy Walters, I think this might be his first one too. And then you've got Reece Walsh, this is his first final series. So. I wonder about that experience factor in finals games. That could be we won't know until the game happens, but it may be a factor. Yeah. May not be a factor.
Cobbo, Walsh, they've been big stage players, been involved State of Origin, as is Carrigan and Haas. So I think we've got the important leaders there that has had a taste of that, but it will affect some of those newbies, but yeah.
Yeah, I think if you make a point, Simon, if they can get in the grind, because I think that's how Storm are going to get them. I think they'll try and grind them out, force the Bronx to chance their arm a bit more, and you know, Reece Walsh, he's not afraid to chance their arm. Ezra Mam isn't either, and put on the young guys, and then punish those errors. So if they can grind for, they don't have to do it for the whole game, obviously, but if they can grind for for 40, 50 minutes or a chunk of the game. And see that part out. They've got the flair and the attack to blow it open once they get through that grind.
I think they'll play it the opposite way, though.
Who's that? Storm?
The Broncos. I think they're going to throw it early. You guys will throw it early and try and get that lead, which will force the Storm's hand to play out of this a different from their game.
We haven't really done that.
That's what the Storm wants you to do, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Bit of mind games there. If it doesn't go well, so I think the Broncos on paper have the team to do it. If it doesn't work out, who would you prefer to face, the Sharks or the Roosters? That's the matchup that comes for the loser of your guys' matchup.
Oh, probably the Sharks, man. Roosters got a lot of top quality names there that can kill you, whereas the Sharks, maybe you can silence a couple of their players and then that's the bulk of their tries, but I don't know. I think both teams, if it came to hell down to that, wouldn't even trouble the Bronx really. There's a definite gap between top four and the bottom four.
Nice, boys. Game two, Saturday's game. Warriors up the Waz, top four, mate. Look at that. You guys are laughing at me at week six when I was fumbling my words.
Well done. Warriors.
Eight. I said top four. I mean top eight, and you guys are trying to grill me. Roger's trying to hang me and crucify me, saying I said top four, and I got my words wrong. But here we are. End of the regular season. Feels so good.
Yeah. You guys took a chance. You guys didn't know. You have to say that. You do all your talking pre-year. But this year was different because you guys were consistent, man. I give you that. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be closer than what people think, man. The biggest out for me for the Warriors is Metcalf. It almost kind of removes another threat where they can score tries because he's really good at backing up players, providing support up the middle. And through his speed, almost similar to what Ezra Mamam does for the Broncos. He's not your dominant half, but to Moita Martin and for him, man, I love this guy, what he's done in the past, but man, he's coming in real, he's coming kind of like underdone, eh? He's coming in, was that his first game of the season?
That was his first game back from injury last week.
And he was mud. Well, he had some bad areas in that one. So, I don't think
he's a fast Dolphins team, man.
He's a good distributor.
Yeah.
And he's a good he's got a good read for the game, but I don't think he's gonna blast you off the park off tries that Metcalf can score. So for me, when I look at this lineup, it's all relies on Sean Johnson, bro, and him and on Tohu Harris. They can get their game going. I think they've got some good plays that puts. Like Neil Corey, all of these second rowers coming onto the ball, inside, outside, Johnson. They just got some good plays that's taken apart a few teams. But in saying that, they got to stop Penrith with their game, eh? The forwards will give you fellas enough ball. But on the other side of the coin, that's where it matters, bro. Can you guys keep them out? Can you guys stop fucking To'o under? I think for him, under 200 is good, man. Hey, who do you kick to, man? One out for Penrith is Cogger, but I don't want to do this because I've been doing it all year, but I have to back Penrith. Warriors, man, egg on my face, they've done well, but I can't back them enough in this game, especially over there. And they're back to full strength, bro. And they've had, they didn't have everyone last week, but they had most of them. So they've almost got like one game under their belt. Of no rustiness. But hey man, like I said, Tuiruva, Targa, Crichton, Tall, you got to keep them quiet on those first three carries and make those forwards work. And that's the only way I know, like, the Warriors, they have, they've got to run toward that defensive line going back, you know what I mean? But miracles can happen, man. I don't know. What do you reckon, Stasis? Are you going to go outside your thought processes? You're a very reasonable man, and you're going to be unreasonable and back them?
Well, I'm with you. I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think, Sai. So that part we agree on. I think you touched on it briefly as well, the loss of Loi. See, that's the big question that I have for Penrith. And they've been the best team for 3 years, maybe 4 years, you might be able to say. See, there's not many chinks in the armour, but I think they might
be. But it almost cancels out losing Metcalf as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. They had Critter. He played left centre. He's been playing a lot on the right. He was awesome last week. And I think that they moved him to the left to help with the loss of Loi.
I don't think that matters too much, though, bro. He's done the heaps too, old Crichton.
Yeah, Tungle's back, so they'll move him back.
But Tungle was mean on that left side, bro.
No, I think Critter's going to stay on the left. They're trying to help out Cogger. Cogger, who's defending on the left. Critter's he's a good defensive centre as well. So I think he's going to stay there on the left. But I think we saw a little bit of a blueprint there when they lost to Parramatta sort of a few weeks back. So if you got to win, you got to sort of upset and win the middle, like Parramatta did. Now, if I look at the Warriors forward pack, they've got a lot of good footwork guys and ball playing through the middle with Fanua Blake and Walker and these guys. And that could trouble the Panthers and that defensive line speed that they got. So it's going to be a tough ask. I think they've got to go after Cocker, who I touched on. So Dallin, he scored 21 tries in 17 games. And Sean Johnson, he's leading the league in try assists. So that right side attack of the Warriors, that's the strong side. Berry and Curran on that side as well. So that's the same side that Cogger's defending on. And hopefully they can go after Cogger and expose his defensive frailties, even though Critter's going to be there to help him out. Despite everything I just said, I also think the Panthers are going to win, unfortunately. Warriors will have a second life, so that's going to be good for them. But yeah, I think Penrith in a close one. I'll say Penrith 1-12. I will say that.
Same question for you then. If the Warriors don't do well this week, who would you prefer out of the Knights and the Raiders at home?
I think the Raiders are the weakest team left in the top eight, so I think that's the easy one. And saying that, well, I think we beat the Raiders twice this year. We beat the Knights once, it was one each. So I'd feel confident we could beat both those teams if it came to it. But yeah, if you have to choose, I'd still take the Raiders. I think Simon's point about that back three of the Panthers, that's I don't know how you stop it. You could probably the kick and you got to chase really good. But yeah, that's, mate, they're just bloody, they're too good. I think that's that back three, Edwards, Taruva, and Tor, they're all in the top six for total run meters for the season. So that's where it all starts with Penrith.
Exactly. How you stop it. You look at those three. Just the way they play. And Dylan Edwards is to those running meters is so key. And so, yeah, I think there's a few targets. Dylan Edwards is a huge target. And I think it's kicking. Well, that's the thing. Because all three of them are so good, your kicks have to be right on. So Johnson has a good kicking game. He's up there with Reynolds in terms of his kick meters. And so I think a similar game plan to Parramatta again, kicking away from them, trying to find grass, and then getting a real good chase on, because I think you can't have a broken line with these guys, and you can't expect to smash Tor. I mean, that guy runs into the forwards like he's a forward. And so these guys are so brave. So, yeah, it's one thing to know that's where their attack's happening. But, yeah, so two different thing to be able to stop it. So, also, the Warriors, so, you know, notorious back in the days as being, you know, off-leg kings, you know, a lot of kind of, you know, street ball, the way they play. They've reined that all in. You look at the offloads this year, and it kind of showed in that game against Parramatta. You know, the offload kings, Jamie Hopgood at 56. Then you got, you know, other guys in Parramatta. Junior Bolo's right up there as well. So a lot of these guys are the ones that are doing the offloads, and you can see it in their game. Adam Fanua Blake's the only one for the Warriors, and he's way down on 31. It's like 1.3 offloads per game. So it's kind of something we've put away from our toolkit. And I don't know if a semi-final is where you try and experiment to bring it back into the game. So probably going to look to run a lot of our same game plan. And yeah, I think it's looking for a lot of that spark through Tamari Martin. But yeah, definitely, I think it's footy's one of those games. A lot of things just need to fall your way. I think there's one of those games that the Warriors, you know, just need the things to fall their way. I'd prefer us to win it this week. Again, I'm the same as you. Either of those two teams, Knights in the form they've been playing in, I definitely wouldn't want them. But I think we've got a real chance. Mentally, Sai, you talked about it, kind of that experience. A lot of the Warriors boys, you know, new to it. So I think that week off would have been real good. A lot of them just spending time, just mental preparedness. I think the balance of these players, it's all Penrith's to lose. And so it comes back down to the want now. Warriors got everything to win. You know, everyone's written them off. So they're the real underdogs here. And the Panthers, I don't know. I don't know how hungry you can get up to win three in a row. Yes, it's an achievement and it's something massive. I don't know. Yeah, Cleary kind of speaks to it last week. You know, these guys just, they love playing footy. That's why they're out there. They look like a happy group. So whether that's the spin or not, it's a long season. We spoke about the length of the season as well. So I think that break at the point we had it, yeah, may just tip us, just that freshness.
I don't know if you sold me, but you see, you're picking Warriors, bro. You're picking the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah, picking the Warriors for an upset this week, man.
I look at their lineup, bro, and I mentioned it before how I thought Broncos can beat them. And I think the Warriors might go in with the same approach. I don't think they're going to come out there and start offloading from the start, but you look at their bench, and I've got to give Alofas and a big shout-out to my little cuz, Bunty, who's missed out.
Yeah, when I first saw that, I was like, man,
that's poor, man, from the coach. This guy's, you know, played over 123 appearances for the Warriors, been there nearly every game. I think it's 23 appearances this year.
Yeah, no, he's been awesome for us. I don't know, maybe and, injury carrying.
It's not a big stat maker, but he's like Rodman was on the Bulls team. He does the dirty work, bro.
Yeah.
And he's really good anchor for Noah Blake. But then when I looked at their bench, and you mentioned a two-tunnel, like they haven't been the offloading team, but I think you look at their bench, I think they're going to come out of that mindset where they're going to try and move Penrith around. And that's the only way you're going to win against the Panthers, bro. You can't grind with them, bro. They love that boring shit.
Yeah, yeah, you got to try and play Bunty's off the cuffs to try and change their forms in that.
Bunty usually a shoo-in, bro, for that bench spot, bro. But you've got guys like Dylan Walker, Chaz Tavanga, Sirinen, Curran. Tavanga's an interesting one because you guys don't really give Egan too much time, if anything, maybe 10 minutes. So I understand maybe therefore hook a backup, but he's going to be there as a mobile prop, bro, who you know, can offload, can move the ball pre-line. You look at guys like who I thought, Sirinen and Curran, I was like, man, Bunty's fucking should be above these guys. But these guys are rangy, kind of back row type bodies who can get out on the edges, bro, can play in the middle if required. They will be required to give, you know, Blake and some of these forwards a spell. But it just smells to me that that's what they're hitting, bro. They've got Dylan Walker who's going to come on as, well, Pappenhausen. Yeah, he can play 13. Tavanga can play 13. He's not your typical prop, bro. Like I said, he's a mobile prop. But he's a prop that can ball play. And Sirin and Curran are just quick leg speed. So if they can, bro, if they got the ability to shift that ball around and make it all come out from that corner, bro. That's what you got to do. Not from the 20-meter line, from exactly. That corner, man. Yeah, right, so it's still a lot will rely on Johnson's kicking game. But is this kicking game good enough, man?
Yeah.
It's right up there, mate. It's above, you know, it's right behind Reynolds.
Mata's not going to do much. Maybe the odd attacking one, but a lot of question marks, but it's doable. They got the personnel there, bro, but Penrith just hasn't really lost games like that, eh?
Yeah. I think you touched on a good point there, Sai, with Bunty, because he doesn't really, he's not the footwork passing at the line type middle.
Straight up the guts. He's the honest guy.
But the style of forwards they've picked, or middles they've picked, you know, with Walker and Tevanga off the bench, they've got that footwork and a bit of late passing at the line style. Bench, so I think that's revealing of the game plan the Warriors are going to enter and how they're going to try to win that middle battle. just not so much through trying to run through them, but a bit of passing and footwork at the line sort of stuff.
So, you got to put these guys, make these guys tired, like Yeltar and Fisher Harris. Their line speed's crazy with Mitch Kenny. But if you make them move, make them tackle, make them big and senior low, man, then you can start making roads, inroads.
Oh, that sounds like you're changing your net back to the Warriors.
Well, this is the game plan. I'm trying to send it. I'm trying to send it to your coach, right? But you know, it's our game plan.
That sounds good to me, man. It sounds like it's gonna work, Goose. I might be changing my mind. I like the idea. I like the plan.
Application,
right? It's application.
It's application.
Nice. Stacey had an interesting stat last time we spoke last week around the top four. Ever since they changed the way that the ladder works, the top four, it's always been the winners out of the eight. So we look at the bottom four from the eight. Sai, you kind of said it, like, being worlds apart. Our first semi for the bottom eight, six and seven, is the Roosters-Sharks game. Man, the Sharks are still here. You kind of said it all year, Sai. You know, they've been a team that, you know, bully below the eight, but then have struggled until last week against the Raiders. It's probably the only time they've looked impressive against a genuine top eight team. And then the Roosters. I don't know how you guys seen this. Both teams kind of coming into a bit of form.
I think out of all of those teams, if I was the top four, maybe the Knights would trouble me because they've got the attack to score points. And their forwards, in that little run of 8-9 games, their forwards are really knuckled up, bro, and their defence has improved heaps. The Roosters, for me, are the dark horse, bro, because if they all their top players, you know, can perform well, and they've got a few, bro. They could string. They're already strung along five games, man. So it's a big one. But is that the game, eh? Knights and the Roosters?
Sharks and Roosters.
Sharks and the Roosters. Well, bro, if you ask me, man, I think Roosters on that one.
I think
Sharks has just not shown enough grind in them. And neither has the Roosters. But the Roosters are proven in the last couple of years that they've been up there. They've changed gears. I don't think I've seen the Sharks at Top Gear, you know, where they really just played at that elite level. I think they've got okay players without setting the world on fire. Then just where they are, really, like top 18, but not the best out of the four.
Stace, your thoughts on, you keep saying about the Roosters on paper.
I sort of was high on this. You know, I think the Sharks they're a confidence team. When things are going their way, they can be really good. But if things turn a bit pear-shaped, you know, the heads drop a bit and the floodgates can open. So I remember there was a podcast we did a few weeks back when the Sharks played Manly. The Manly scored 30 unanswered points. The Sharks just couldn't stop it.
They're fleet teams.
Yeah, and then they get the momentum back and scored 26 straight points. So it was that game against the Knights a few back. Or 6-6 at half time, and instead of, you know, sort of sticking it out and going set for set, getting in the grind like Jeets just touched on, Sai, they just dropped their bundle and ended up getting pumped by 32-6. So yeah, their inability to stay in the grind, like Sai mentioned, I agree with that. That's a problem for the Sharks. Now the Roosters, on the other hand, at least they're in good form. I think they've won five in a row. Their spine changes have been good with Walker coming in. It looks like Smith's starting to get back to who we used to be. And I can see them taking that momentum from the Sharks and holding onto it for long periods with that style. So, the Roosters just scraped in. So they're far from, you know, I don't think you see them as a contender at this point. But I think they have enough to at least win in week one.
If Radley, one of my favourite things, bro, Radley, and he's coming into form, bro. Unless he doesn't do anything all game. But Lindsay Collins, bro. And so the big L for them was Hargreaves, bro. Hargreaves. They had Hargreaves. That forward pack, Seki with Smith there, the Butcher Brothers. And then Walker and Kerry coming to some good form, bro. And they had money back from his injury, so that back line's fire, man.
Well, Walker, yeah, Walker last week, man, coming back and just in that kind of form.
Yeah, man. Goes to show, like, fuck, you should have made that call a while back.
Yeah,
bro,
bring him again, in. Yeah, one of those, they kind of...
I do know he was injured, but still on paper, bro. It looks like the fucking Roosters still got a bit of team. I don't know, close one, but I think the Roosters can do some whaleanga mares here, man.
Yeah, the Roosters, again, on paper, we spoke about it last week, just as, I guess, experience in the finals, you know, Robbo back in here. You know, not long ago, this was a team that was looking at running and having a three-peat. So, you know, they're not far off.
It's almost like they on paper, they have to be in the eight. Yeah. But they almost kind of, like, didn't really deserve to be in the eight this year and crept in because a couple of scores went their way. But now they're in there, they've got a chance, bro. Dangerous.
It'll be interesting, you know what, the newspapers would have been reading about the back doors and back office happening at Roosters Town.
They actually ended up having a better year than the Bunnies.
And I guess came down to that last game. But I know there was some stuff happening. You know, the whole dropping of Walker, there was a lot of talk happening there. And people were getting ready to write these guys off if they didn't make the eight. You mentioned Victor Radley. That'll be interesting. Just the way they play those forwards. You know, they've got... Braden Himmelwele and Toby Rudolph, you know, they're coming into some good form in the forwards too. Especially Braden, you know, he likes to play that enforcer. The last matchup he had with Jared Waira Hargraves.
Yeah.
So Victor's got a bit of that in him. So you're right. He'll be massive as long as he doesn't, because he can get it wrong too. So, you know, when he gets it wrong, he gets it terribly wrong.
Collins has been awesome from them. Collins, like, ever since
Origin A.
Origin,
yeah.
he's probably like a real underdog. Like, no one really mentions him in the realm of props, but fuck, bro, top three for me, top two, him and Haas right up there.
Oh, how about Teddy? Like, I guess Origin, everyone writing him off. Stacey's favorite player, even Stacey was calling for his head in Origin to see his form back, mate. Is he Aussie captain again, Stace?
Haas is permanent. Yeah. Form's temporary.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, the Roosters, they've got some issues around their discipline. So you talk about Radley and all the rest of it. You know, if they can keep that under control, because they've got a few hotheads in there. Obviously, Whitey Hargraves is out, but, I mean, they've got the worst set completions in the whole NRL and worst for possession. So it comes back to their ill discipline that they've had, which has hurt them in the past. So if they serve that up again, well, the Sharks are good enough to potentially capitalize on that. So...
Well, who are you picking, bro? Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Roosters still just on paper. I keep going back to the team on paper. And the fact that the Sharks, they've just pummeled the bottom teams to get to where they are. You know, I don't know if they can beat the Roosters. Whatever you think about them, they finished in the top eight. So I think they'll take them.
Nice. Before we move on to that last game, the Roosters, they win this. You guys pushing? You seen them pushing on? Further than week two?
Oh, nah. No, in my opinion. I don't think they've played at that level at all this year. They'd have to play at that level to beat Sharks for sure, but I don't know, hey. I think the forward pack's still a bit thin with our Hargraves.
Yeah.
They've only just got those two loss, really damaging.
He's like their forward.
Yeah, so I don't know. Big question mark. But like I said, man, it's on paper it looks devastating, bro. They got the individual solo guys to pull out tries like Manu and Waifu, Swali. That's why out of the top four teams, they're going to be dangerous. But you want the week off, not face any of these teams.
Nice, boys. Final game of our first week of finals, the Knights, red hot Knights, man, coming in against the Raiders. Your thoughts here, Stace? Knights win this 10 games in a row. I don't know how much their run is. What's the record? 11? 13?
11 is the record. So they'll be up there, right? I mean, of all the games, this one might be the easiest one in my eyes to pick, at least. You know, Ponga's back, Jackson Hastings is back, So that swings it towards the Knights, who are in good form, like you mentioned, tons of the amount of wins they've had in a row. You know, look at the Raiders. There was something like, I don't know what it was. It was like negative 100 points, their points differential. So they're a team that grinds out close wins, and a lot of that style was dependent on the domination through the middle and just trying to run through teams and get in a dogfight. That's going to be hard to do without, you know, some of their key middle guys. So Popoli's out, Horsburgh's suspended, and with both those guys being out who are crucial to the game plan, I think the Knights will have got too much firepower. So they'll win at home and get another week, I think.
Mm. Yeah, they get a life. That's a life away for the loser of the top four right. For their home game, eh?
Mm.
So, how are you seeing this? How do you think the Knights, their form rolls on?
Yeah, I'm off Stace. I think Knights, kind of, for me, are almost in that genuine contenders circle for... I just think that the run they're on, it could be one of those, like, Eagles from 09 or, like... Broncos did it in 06. They come out of nowhere and they finish kind of further down the table but end up winning. Just the way they've been playing, bro. Just confidence. Got their top team back on the park. So even without their team, they've been managing to win. I think their confidence goes a long way, bro. And dare I say it, Wolves, like, I don't want to say too much about this game because for me it's going to be an easy win. But it's a more of a danger game for Warriors week two. Because I think that's where it ends up. If the Warriors lose this one against the Panthers, that the winner of this elimination final will go to Mount Spark. So, bro, you hear here first, bro. I think they can go to a prelim. And then when you're in the prelim, who knows, man? There could be one of these runs. It all falls on Ponga's shoulders. But I think they got a good combination, bro. I love their hooker, man. He's awesome. He's starting to have good snipes. But he's got one of the best services in the game. Gamble, he's awesome. He doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to come up with flies.
Just because he's an ex-Bronco, don't know you'd be calling him one of the best services in the game.
No, but like just he does his thing. He doesn't have to be like a ball playing six, which he can be. But I think he's just those energizing, like what Josh Reynolds was at his peak at the Doggies. Just makes his tackles, leads the defensive line. And then you got Jackson Hastings, who's one of the better sevens of the game, bro. The kicking game relies on him. It's a good kicking game with Ponga on his left foot. So easy win this week, and solely watch out Warriors game week two, man.
Yeah, interesting.
I think the Knights have scored the most tries this season, so their attack is really high powered. So a lot of talk like you mentioned about Ponga side down that left edge. But Dominic Young on the right, he scored 23 tries this round, and now him outside Gekko, so they've got a three.
What about the last try he just did on the weekend?
Oh, mate, yeah. So both sides, they're quite dangerous. A lot of people talk about Ponga on that left, but, you know, the other side's pretty strong as well. Also, like, the Raiders, I don't know why. Well, maybe I didn't know why, but they pick Whiten at centre again. They need to score some points. So I'd be moving him back to 5'8". Try and find someone else to play centre. We'll see what happens on game day. But he's been named at centre again. He's strong.
I think he's out. They don't care. They're like, stuff you, Jake. You're leaving next year.
Yeah, but
Canberra have to arm wrestle Knights. And I don't think Knights got too much class to keep them scoreless, man. Canberra kind of have to like grind wins. I don't think they've got the attack to score tries easily.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, you look at the way the Knights play, quite an up-tempo game. Like, their forwards, quite mobile, like the Saifidi brothers for big boys. Man, they got some good footwork, both of them. I think just that big, lanky, kind of their frames. But both the boys have been going real good. I think with those outs, like Papali'i, you know, Tapene is still in there. I think they're just struggling for... just those real grinders in the forwards, because
Well, they've got a good pack. I don't know if it's their halves, but they're just not getting enough tries, bro, through the team. The forwards are a good team on paper, man.
Well, yeah, and that, I guess that's the key for them, because you look at the way the Knights play, their tries, like stay said, both sides. So Dom Young, top try scoring at 23, just behind Isako, and then Maji on the other side with 20. So, you know, they try and get it to the backs real quick, but they're not spread. You know, you look at the Panthers, you know, their tries come across the board. You know, it's pretty much all of those backs and Isaiah Yeo are leading their tries, where it's very in the backs and just straight out to those edges. So, you know, something that the Raiders should be able to target. They just looked real tired last week against the Sharks. I think that's kind of one thing I noticed.
They're done.
It's Sorry a long season, and yeah, the body language kind of looked like that. Just a tired team, like just kind of, yeah, they look done. Again, everything to play for. Ricky's quite good, you know, passion, you know, I guess that's the thing. Like with the roster they've got, with the players they've got out, Seb Chris, I don't think it's huge. He was doing a job, but he wasn't setting the world on fire at the back there. So Rapana slot straight in. Yeah, I don't know if they can get, again, footy's an interesting game. If they can hit the ball,
bouncing that's right a miracle. If they win, that's a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, you know, some of those kind of stats, you know, going for 10 in a row, that's a long kind of run. Yeah, and Raiders being a grinding game, maybe they'll just make this an ugly game. Knights like to win and win pretty, and maybe that's the Raiders' attack is just to get this into a real.
Where are you going now? Ray, you calling the Raiders or?
I'm calling the Raiders for an upset.
Oh, wow.
And a very hard ride for them up to.
You really don't want those Knights in the second week, though?
We'll be relaxing on the beach waiting in game in week three, mate.
You're hoping it's the Raiders.
But if all else fails, we'll take the Raiders.
That's a reaching call, bro. You just spent the whole time talking about Ponga and then chika on the U-turn at the end.
So it's one player. See, that's their target. See, they shut down Ponga. Shut down the whole game plan.
Please don't let Knights go for his second round. That's what that sounds like, that shit.
Sure, boys. All right. So, yeah, man, first week. Should be exciting. Should be a lot of talk coming out of these games, whichever way they go. Yeah, I guess a lot of those predictions will kind of shake out how we view the next 3 weeks of finals as well after this. Just go to some quick awards for the season so far. Your Kopai team of the year. Who would you guys give that to? We'll go to you first, Si. He's kind of really disappointed you this year.
Fucking easily the Doggies. I think the difference between them and the other bottom teams, man, I still feel like Tigers, Dragons were still, you know, they're going down swinging, bro. You know, they're still having a go. But, man, some of these losses, especially recently with the Doggies, you don't want to see that kind of game, bro. Just people giving up. That's what it looks like. So purely for that, congratulations, Kopai of the Year, yeah, Doggies.
Stace, how are you, man?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Doggies, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Just probably to put something different out there, I'll probably take the Tigers back-to-back wooden spoons. You know, last year they said, oh, it can't get any worse. They finished 16th. And then we get a 17th team in, and then they finished 17th. So it did get worse for them. But I think of the signings that they had at the start of the year, they got Api Korosau, Dave Clemmer, Bateman, Papali'i. They had some good signings that you think, shucks, these guys, I didn't expect them to make the top eight, but I thought that they would move up the table. Those are all quality guys.
I think they'll be better, man.
And it just hasn't happened. So that's my good point to you there.
Nice. Your best, I'd probably have to agree with you, Si, just off the back of some of the signings for the Doggies. I'd throw them in as my Kopai team, especially kind of along par with the Warriors. So that's where I thought, you know, that would be our measure. Like coming, both teams, you know, really struggling, kind of trying to find some form and try and get some consistency in their seasons. And then both getting a Panthers coach. And so that was kind of my gauge of, let's see if we can run a bit better than these guys. So to see them totally just fall out of the running, fall out of every conversation was – Yeah, just a real shock, and kind of especially the way they went about it. Like, there's all sorts of problems when you get the guy who's meant to be the defensive coach, and week after week we're talking about how poor their defense is and how they just don't seem to look like they know how to defend. So I think that, yeah, really speaks to some of the problems there when that's the main thing this guy came for, and that's the main thing everyone talks that sucked in their games. Isn't that they can't score points, but they just can't stop other teams. So yeah, that also goes for my kōpae. Best try of the season so far in the 2023 season. There's been some doozers, but yeah, I don't know, some of your best ones off the top of your head you can kind of think back to.
One stands out for me, bro. Broncos. What's it? Dolphins, man, I forget. But it's Herbie Farnworth, bro, and he ends up running backwards just before the line. Oh. But just the lead up to that try, bro, Walsh beat like fucking 15 people.
Yeah, yeah, through that. Yeah,
made this mean break. Then, man, I don't know, don't quote me. Someone else just hits the ball like cleanly and then passes out to Herbie, who's kind of like still got fight someone off, still got like 10, 15 minutes to the line, fights him off, ends up going backwards, boom.
That's when he kicked him in the face, broke his jaw, shattered his eye socket, and then told him to shush before he moonwalked over the line.
That's right.
Stace, what's been one of your favourites, if you can think of anyone?
Yeah, it's tough. There's been a lot of good ones. Just trying to think off the top of my head. I think there was one, the Cowboys against the Panthers. They were trying to the game went to extra time, and I think they tried to set up for a field goal. And they bumbled it for some reason. I think the defensive line speed of Penrith came right up to them again, and they had to run it at the last play in drink water. I think he stepped like about two or three guys, and then show and go on the outside, stepped someone else on the inside, and he scored a try in extra time to win it for him. I thought just with the game on the line, he stepped up and came up with a really strong play. And that was when the Cowboys at that point of the season at least were running red hot. They had beaten some pretty quality teams, and they looked, that was at that stage, they looked like they were going to finish in the top eight. So I thought, just because of the moment and how important that was in that game against the Premiers, I give that one a shout.
Nice. Yeah, that's I remember that Drinkwater one because, yeah, that's when I thought the Cowboys were hot with Drinkwater really finding some form.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the game either, but I remember one of, I guess, classic Waitene in the try line, but he jumps from in goal, catches the ball just outside the line of in goal, lands back in and scores.
Yes, bro.
And he's been doing it all year, but yeah, just, I think that, again, that was a crucial game, just kind of the Warriors to stay in.
Bruh, they remind me of that Israel Folau one.
That one.
We kind of put it down behind him. It's just how high he got up, and he got a bit of he was a bit still in the air, but and then just to know where the line was and when the try was.
The body in was just,
he's done a few good mean finishes, eh?
Yeah, man.
Did you see Dom Young's finish in the weekend?
Yeah. Beautiful.
He can't wield twice. He can't wield, man. Almost. Yeah, his feet were. It's like he's doing the bop in the air before he put the ball down.
What?
Surely that went straight up to there. Like Waitene had probably like a few in the top five, but that, I think that was up there as one of the best finishes. Oh, that one and that Waitene one you just brought up, but man, that was a mean try. Check it out.
Nice. All right. And probably just lastly, your standout player of the year. Someone who's just really surprised you. Maybe they've come on the scene or, just had an outstanding season. I don't know. We'll go with you, Stace.
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of standout guys. I'll probably take the obvious guy from me, from a Warriors fan. I'll take Sean Johnson. He's really stood out for me. He's had a couple of injury-riddled seasons, and if you listen to the narrative at the start of the season, this guy's over the hill, especially is behind him, he's a waste of money, all this sort of carry on. So for him to kick on, find the player he used to be, or not even the player, he used to be a different version, a better, probably a better version, and to lead the Warriors to the top four, I think he might be, there's probably two or three other guys who are in the mix, but he'll be close to Dalian Player of the Year. He's led the NRL in try assists. And, yeah, he's the reason why the Warriors have gone from top four, even though a lot of pundits had them finishing in the bottom four. And so he deserves a lot of credit for that. And it does say a lot about the importance of being happy outside of football. So we did that bit before about how the culture at the Bulldogs. Mm. There's a lot of unhappy players there, and that's playing itself out on the field. When you look at someone like Sean Johnson, he's on the other end of the spectrum. He's found the happiness off the field. He's back home. He's close to his family. He's got a support system around him, and now he's winding back the clock and finding his best form. So Sean Johnson for me.
Nice observations, mate. So, here's
big ups,
you, man.
Big ups to Sean Johnson. Definitely won probably his best year, man.
Yeah, man.
But you know, in saying that, in terms of his output, he's not like taking the world on fire. He's just become a really awesome general, elite seven.
Mm.
Dictating with his boot, organizing his troops. So in that regard, I'm gonna go with Reece Walsh, who's doing what Johnson was doing, but has been doing it all year. I think we've got a little taste of what he's doing at the Warriors, but I don't think too many people would have predicted what he did this year, man. Like,
comes from the foundations that are made from the Warriors.
Well, that started at the Broncos before we learned them out. And then what he did in Origin and what he continues to do, bro. He's leading the and he hasn't played all the games, but he's still leading the competition in a try assists, leading the competition in line break assists. And these are big numbers, bro. This isn't like he's either scoring them or creating them, bro. And he's been a big difference in the way the Broncos won, been a big difference with Queensland and just how safe he's been with them. I think it's going to be the big difference for I don't know if he's played enough to be Dalian, but if the Broncos can make the grand final, man, he can be that man of the match, bro. It's just got something in his game, bro, that no one can. One, his pace, but two, just his youth of just fucking having a go. Stacey, he coughs up the ball every now and then, bro. But if he can give us 2-3 tries a game, oh yeah, I'll gladly have his one or two knock-ons, bro.
Mm.
I think what you get from him is more than his down percent, bro. I just don't think. That's what a season, bro. Like, he just Ponga's like amazing, having an amazing, but he's beat him to his position, bro. So, I've been happy with what he's produced and look forward to what's going to bring.
Yeah, he's only 20 as well. Nice, so you think about that. He's it's scary to think that his best football is still in the future,
still to come.
Yeah. So he just turned 21, man.
He could be anything for 4 or 5 years from now if he can stay injury free. Stuff that white powder and stuff.
Well, yeah, and it's good he's got all those silly things out of the way. You know, just the whole swearing to the ref kind of, you know, that kind of drama.
He's still doing them this year, but yeah, that's youth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Might have picked that up from back in Auckland.
Cool, boys. I don't know. I just wanted to kind of do some special mentions. I don't know if there's any others kind of throughout some of the games. Especially last week, we got a glimpse of Suafa'alongo. Over at the Storm, probably shout out some other players, but man, just watching, he looks fire. He looks. Hopefully, he gets more game time. Hopefully, he doesn't. But man,
Is he a shoo-in for tour straight away?
Hopefully, hopefully that he's on the radar to just come in
For Origin.
Yeah, as a
fullback. He came in when he was 15, and I think the cutoff was 30. So he won't never be eligible for that.
Okay.
But I don't think he's got any connections to back home in New Zealand. So that's a straight Melbourne-raised Tor Samoa rep right there, man.
Yeah, especially coming up through that Bellamy system, you get that raw talent with Bellamy tutelage.
Yeah, that's speed too, man. Yeah, speed.
Yeah, exactly. Just that stuff you can't train. Anyone else stand out to you guys?
Nah. But everyone's doing their thing.
Yeah. Probably Tristan Saylor, another one like some of these guys you won't see in the final series, but man.
Oh, fucking bastard last week, man. He did good things and he did bad things. But nah, bro, he's a good backup, bro. But I don't know if he... I don't know, man.
It's been the same as Bruce Walsh, mate. Just try your hand. Yeah. Sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't.
He'll be there for Origin time. We signed him up for Origin time. Here's your 3-4 games a year. Be happy with that contract, mate.
Awesome, boys. Nice wrap. Looking forward to the final series. Anything else, man?
I want a quick throw in a plug.
Yeah, man.
Some good sports coming up, you know, with the finals footy we're just talking about, Rugby World Cup. So drop some content down on our WestWestNet website.
Yeah, nice.
Some quality writers on there, and I'm so privileged to be a part and have someone have my stuff on there. So we'll drop something about the finals footy and the World Cup coming up, especially with our Pacifica teams coming out. So check out that website, man. Awesome Polynesian perspective stuff.
Nice
call, bro. Yeah, I got to catch up on the counter ruck. So go check that out. Stace and the boys break down the pool games leading up to the World Cup this week. Thanks for that, Stace. I haven't really followed much, but good insight into the pools, what you guys are kind of thinking is going to come out of it. Especially that first one should be good. New Zealand, France, this Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday. So World Cup starts this Saturday. We're trying to pump out the content for the Rugby Union podcast, The Counter Ruck. So that's also, like Si mentioned, part of the WestWest Network. So keep listening for that. That's going to be quite interesting, that Rugby World Cup. And it's also coinciding with the NRL Grand Finals final series.
Yeah. So what's the timing? Like, is that France time, like morning time, our time?
Yeah, I think it's 6 a.m. kickoff New Zealand time for anyone who's interested. Oh, nice. And then later on that afternoon, Warriors will be playing as well. So it's going to be a bit...
Oh, it's good they don't clash then.
Yeah. So that's going to be good. But this is really getting to the exciting part for the NRL side. At 27 weeks just to get to this point. But we've eliminated 11 teams already. So we're really getting to the fun part of the season. And I just wanted to say, like, the NRL and how great... It's a great product because, you know, we see what happens when teams do well. So the Warriors are the hottest ticket in town. And me and Tana will know this being based in New Zealand. But all the merch is all sold out. The games are sellouts. And all on the back of the Warriors form. And there was an article where I think someone from Sky mentioned that this upcoming game against the Panthers could break our viewership records for rugby. Oh. It may even push the All Blacks opening.
You could probably still get some merch from the Idaho shops.
Oh, those
Warriors jerseys.
I think they've got the Let's Go Warriors. That's where they're
nothing sold out. Yeah. Nothing sold out in Penrose.
There's a print of daily those jerseys, mate. They got stock coming in daily.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that they think that the potentially that playoff Penrith against the Warriors may push the ratings for the All Blacks opening match against France. So that's just a testament to the NRL and the quality of the competition.
The viewership for any sport, like even USC and all those other.
Think this is going to be the highest, potentially the highest for rugby league in New Zealand. And, the All Blacks, everyone watches the All Blacks. They think might push them for being the biggest, most watched thing over the weekend. So, the Warriors have captured basically a rugby
match. Dial of fire.
New Zealand. And our national
game, violence, please, back home. People up there.
Dying a slow death,
it's just the game. It's just the game, everyone.
That's so awesome, the boys get those opportunities to play this deep into the season as well. We mentioned how long the season is, but for the product and for, people getting on the Wires bandwagon, man, it's awesome for the game. It's awesome for the more people that play. You look at next season, being able to have a packed out stadium for game one is going to be so amazing. Just seeing this whole season, every game packed out, which would become the norm as you start just growing these everyday Warriors supporters.
Mm.
And
also, Canterbury, that's one thing I just thought of now. Like, Canterbury is basically the sports hub of New Zealand, which is hard for me to say being an Aucklander, but the Crusaders have been carving up and they could always win the cricket university. They won the school, New Zealand schools, a school from Canterbury. So they could become a powerhouse of rugby league as well. And I think the Warriors have sort of indirectly impacted a lot of these teams.
St. Paul's in there? They'd be St. Paul's.
They beat St. Paul's, a team from Canterbury. So that's the national champs of New Zealand.
Wow.
And that carries on the Crusaders and all the other bloody shit that they're good at as well. So watch the space. There could be some guns coming out of that region for us as well.
Mm. Nice, boys. That's a wrap. Yeah, check us out. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Check us out on wezwesnet.com. All our content, all our other channels, and all the write-ups. So, boys, up the waz.
Well.